Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. I hope you are as excited as I am about the return of the Lord to end the wickedness and vileness that has permeated this earth caused by corrupt, godless men and women like the current administration and the sickly, woke Democratic regime here in America, and all the atheistic, globalist regimes that have taken the helm of many nations and are steering the course of this world into a violent conflict with God Almighty. The Christian's hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish His earthly kingdom, while our unyielding faith is in the work of Jesus on the cross and His bodily resurrection from the grave when He first came to the earth to bring salvation to whomsoever believes. So, a quick overview of the Olivet Discourse. It is a sermon that Jesus preached to His disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of His earthly ministry. This discourse was preached to put all of Jesus' disciples for the last 2,000 years during the dispensation of grace on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready and faithful upon his return. He admonishes that believers need to be prepared and alert for his return through fervent prayer and obedience. He cautions that some believers will be careless in their walk with him. There are 7 parables in this discourse by Jesus, which I identify and explain. Different aspects of this discourse address specific events, targeting 3 specific groups. Hence, I subtitled this sermon, "The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God." But only believers can discern these events and parables and witness to the world the second advent of Christ. The unconverted Jews and the unregenerate Gentiles have no clue what will soon befall them. The third parable, it begins at verse 40 in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. "Then shall 2 be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. 2 women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in." If Jesus is coming like a thief, okay? They come in very quietly, right? They come in so you can't see them. You're sleeping. Some people sleep through the night and a thief comes in, steals everything they have and is out the door. And that person doesn't even know they got robbed until they wake up, right? A good thief. Or they come into a museum and get around all the security and steal a valuable painting. And they don't know it until the next morning because none of the alarms were triggered. My dad worked in an industrial complex not far from my house, the house we grew up in as kids. And there was a business near him that had, they had diamonds. They used diamonds for making cutting tools. And thieves would try to break in all the time. And it was a family-owned business. Family was very savvy in electronics. And they built their own alarm systems. And they always changed it. Because the thieves were trying all different ways to come in from the roof and through HVA systems and through different means of coming into the building. And so they constantly were upgrading and changing things and changing codes but they had to do that all the time to be one step ahead of the thief. And they didn't trust some security company to come in and put the alarm system in there. They did it themselves. But a thief also doesn't make it a big announcement. Well, don't you think this differs than what we read earlier about Jesus coming and verse 27 there in Matthew 24, and as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Is there not a difference? So there's 2 different events here. So he's coming as a thief. Paul emphasizes, the first bullet point there, that Paul emphasizes what we learn from the Lord, that no man knows when the Lord will return. He also emphasizes the thief nature of his parousia, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So there's two aspects of the return of the Lord. And I've dealt with this. We said it last week. First, he comes in the stage in the clouds, and then when he assembles his army goes through the judgment seat, then he will come to the earth. So there's the two stages there. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light. Hopefully everyone in this room is a child of light. That means you're the child of God. Okay? Are the children of light. Jesus is the light. So you are the son of Jesus, in a sense. Ye are sons. Jesus is the only begotten son. How do you become a son of God? Through adoption. Children of light and the children of day, ye are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. That means you need to stay up 24 hours a day and not sleep. Stay up 24 hours a day and not sleep. Did you hear that? That's what Jesus is telling you to do right there. It says it. It says, therefore, let us not sleep. What are God's words? They're spiritual words. Right? We've learned that. Just like when Jesus says, eat of my flesh. He doesn't literally mean eat of his flesh. Right? So, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Key point, sober. Be sober, let us watch. This same caution was seen in Peter's second epistle as reviewed in the former section. We read that, 2 Peter 3:10, so drop down to the next bullet point. Note the interesting contrast that the New Testament teaches that Jesus' return is thief-like, whereas Satan is a thief. Okay? Satan comes to destroy, to steal, to kill. All right? We read that in John 10:10. The difference is as or like. Okay? Versus is. Satan is a thief. Jesus comes as a thief. Two little small words, as and is, as important in this comparison. Now, D.M. Panton teaches that this analogy of Christ's return as a thief is pregnant with meaning. Number one, first of all, Jesus is coming to steal, to take that which is rightfully his own. Okay? Unlike the FBI who raided President Bush's Mar-a-Lago estate there. Trump, what did I say? Bush? Oh, my goodness. I must be dyslexic. First of all, Jesus is coming to steal that which is rightfully his own. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Okay? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your, what? Own. Ye are not your own. You have been sold to the Lord. You sold yourself to the Lord. Used to have a man at Crown of Life. When he was sober,
He got on fire for the Lord. I'm telling you, some of his prayers for the inner city folks, you couldn't surpass. He understood what was going on in the inner city. Spent a lot of time in jail, but he also fled to the Virgin Islands. Got himself a sailboat and taught himself how to sail and just to get away from the authorities. But had a struggle with alcohol, and he always said, "Preacher, you and a friend of mine, you guys are sold out for the Lord, but I struggle with alcohol. I struggle with that alcohol, and there would be times he'd dry out for a period of time, and like I said, when he prayed for the people in the inner city to come to Christ, nobody could match him. He was so burdened for what was going on in the inner city. But you are bought with a price. So you sold yourself to the Lord in a sense. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Christ bought you. He redeemed you through his blood, his shed blood, through his suffering on the cross. Glorify God in your body. That means flee from fornication. Your body is not your own. Before you put graffiti on it, talk to the Lord. Before you put piercings all over it, talk to the Lord. It's not your body any longer. He loves you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus comes to take out of the world that which the world hates, but which he loves. Jesus comes to take out of the world that which the world hates, but which he loves. He loves you. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. American Christians haven't experienced that much. It's really just come to light in the last 2 years. When Biden got into office, we see the hatred for the Christian. Let me tell you, you are hated more than they hate Trump. Because you're the ones who put him in office. And they hate righteousness. They love wickedness in the world. And they want to propagate it. Amber alerts. Did you get an Amber alert this past week on the phone? Did you get an Amber alert? That's because of God-fearing people who are concerned about children being abducted. That's not the Democrats and the radical pedophiles on the left side. The world. They want to flood the country with children, don't they? We're seeing that. Coming across the border. Flood the children with unaccompanied children so they can abuse them. That's why God destroyed Canaan. That's why he told them, you kill everybody. Everybody. When the Israelites went into Jericho, they slaughtered everything except for Rahab and her family that was under her roof. Children, everybody, because of the wickedness, the sexual wickedness that was going on and the perversion that was going on in the world. I mean, Janet remembers, some of you, I don't know if anybody else in this room here remembers, we went down to the gay pride parade, protesting the gay pride parade. Today, you can't even go down there. It's getting so vile. It's getting vile. They don't even care anymore about keeping their clothes on. They'll just display any kind of vileness. And part of the gay pride is not just gay. It's the Man-Boy Love Association. They march in those things also. For years they've been a part of that. And then you have car dealerships there advertising their cars. And you have Andre Carson driving in one of the cars and waving to people at the... And so it's wicked, it's vile, and they hate you. They say, judge not, lest ye be judged. We're not judging with our signs and preaching on the street. We're warning you the judge is coming. And you're not going to be happy when that happens. You may enjoy your gay pride parade right now, but you're going to be in sudden panic and sudden torment because it will come upon them suddenly. Number three, it implies a hidden Savior cloaked in the clouds. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub, and he did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds. So it implies a hidden Savior cloaked in the cloud. Number four, it implies that the taken goods disappear visibly and suddenly and are only discovered as missing because they have vanished. As we read here, it said, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Husband and wife will be in bed, one taken and the other left. Luke tells us here, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Now, you say, two men in the bed. You know, there was a day and age, you know, the sodomite crowd accused Abraham Lincoln of being a homosexual. That's because in that day and age, when you went to an inn and you needed a room to sleep in, they didn't have hundreds of hotels with high rises and 100 rooms in them. And you had to share, if you got rented a room, you may have shared a bed with another person. In that day, that wasn't odd. Today, that we would think that's very odd, don't you? But in that day and age, you just needed a place to plop your head down and get some rest. They didn't have any sexual thoughts like goes on in our minds today. That was purely innocent. There was very little, few inns when they traveled. And so Abraham Lincoln would be in a hotel room and rent a room, and they would rent the same room to somebody else, and you had to share a bed. So I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Number five, it implies that that thief-like, only the costliest goods are removed. Those who build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in their life with gold, silver, and precious stones are those costly goods. Okay? Implies only the costliest goods are removed. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Not all believers are saints. Carol, when you were young, Dr. Dixon preached in the church, there were only two classes of people, the saved and the lost. I'm sure you heard that many, many times. Judy, Jerry, I'm sure you heard that many, many times in the church. When Dr. Dixon learned about the kingdom, he realized there are three classes of people. There's the lost, there's the saints, and there's the believers who are steeped in sin. So the saved crowd, there's two groups. Those who build upon the foundation of Christ with wood, hay, and stubble, and those who build upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Number six, it implies that there is no evidence of their whereabouts once taken, secretly concealed in the air. How many thieves have got away with their crime? They may have gone to jail, but they never got the goods on the criminal. He hid them. And people are still looking for the whereabouts of their hidden treasures. People are still looking for pirates' treasures on abandoned islands all over the globe. It implies there is no evidence of their whereabouts once taken, secretly concealed in the air.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.